And 92.5. Mike Stanton, long time major league pitcher. And I'm not saying you're old, Mike. I'm just saying you're experienced. How's that? And now you can see him on the Astros pre and post game shows. He's been doing that. And he does a great job covering our Houston Astros, talking about our Astros before and after games. And I would imagine it's pretty easy when you got a really good you see other guys, Mike, that have to talk about a lot of losses. You haven't had to do that. You've had it's a nice job. And oh, by the way, congratulations that you guys are going to be on the air this year after all the news with AT&T and Warner Brothers and Discovery and all of that. How worried were you about that, whether or not you guys would have a regional network this year?
Well, I think, you know, thanks for having me, guys. I think you're obviously concerned. I mean, you know that they're going to – somebody's going to have to cover the games. And, you know, that's the business side of it. I'm not involved in that. Was it concerning? Yes. Is it concerning? It still is. But, you know, you just go along with – look at the schedule and just do your thing and let those people take care of that kind of business. That's way above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm. And you get to talk about a good baseball team again. But, Mike, we haven't seen these injuries like we've seen so far this spring. The Astros are pretty darn lucky. This spring is it's getting a little concerning now with Michael Brantley on the IL, Jordan not ready, McCullers not ready. It seems like this is a little bit different than we've seen before.
Yeah, it is, and that's obviously a problem that everybody in Major League Baseball has to go through. You're going to have your injuries. I mean, we do have you're during the broadcast yesterday on AT&T Sportsnet. We did get to talk to Joe Espada, and Joe's still optimistic about Jordan. He thinks Jordan is still going to be ready for opening day. That would be a big plus. Obviously, not going to be Jose Altuve, that's for sure. Hasn't had surgery yet. Swelling's got to go down before they can get in there. So you really don't have a time frame until they can actually get in there and figure out exactly what the extent of the injury was. Michael Brantley, I think this was kind of expected a little bit. We'll just have to wait and see what his time frame's going to be. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those things. The Astros over the years have been relatively healthy. Yes, they have had their injuries here and there, but it hasn't been, it hasn't been a big, big problem. Good thing now is you're still in spring training. You still have time here to figure out what's going to happen at second base, and you have a very long season in front of you. So, you try and be optimistic, but this is something everybody in baseball has to put up with.
Do you see David Hensley as a legitimate, as the new Aledmys Diaz with his ability to play multiple positions? How confident do you feel in David Hensley at this particular moment, or is there still a lot to still uncover in terms of his preparedness for that kind of role?
I think he can be an answer short term, and who knows long term. I mean, the one thing you do like about David is defensively he's solid, and offensively, I mean, we see quality at bats from him all the time. I mean, he's not this big home run hitter, but you know, he puts together some quality at bats. He's not up there just flailing away. So I think he could be an answer. And this is strictly just my opinion. I think he's going to get a good long look at second base, because I think Mauricio Dubon, his greatest value is in the ability to move him around. So I think that, even though you could do the same thing with David, with Mauricio's speed and him being able to play at least average, if not above average, defense in multiple positions, I think you leave him on the bench and you use him, you know, the way you need to as a defensive replacement, whether it's, you know, in the outfield or one of the infield positions. But so I think that's what's going to happen at second base. We're not exactly sure. They're still trying to figure it out. But like I said, You like where the coaching staff and the organization, where their mindset is right now. They're not panicking. They're not doing anything crazy. They're gonna kind of wait and see what's going on, what the options are out there as far as second base is concerned. You know, left field, well, again, same thing. We'll have to wait and see. But it does look like Jordan, there is still a chance that he's ready for opening day.
Yep. Mike Stanton with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Should we concern at all about Hunter Brown, lower back spasms, and he wasn't able to go, and he really hasn't. I guess we just assumed that Hunter Brown was going to walk in and be Justin Verlander this year, and so far this spring he's had a nice outing or two, but how concerning is it with this lower back problem though?
I'm not really concerned with it right now. I think that, you know, in spring training, you're doing things you're not going to do in the regular season. You're not going to take PFPs every day. You know, you're not having to get up early in the morning. You know, you're going to get into a different routine. And I think, spending as many years as I have, as many springs as I did in spring training, there's aches and pains all over everywhere. But I'm not really concerned that much unless this, you know, really keeps him off of the mound for an extended period of time. Everybody has little aches and pains, even young guys. It's not just old dudes like me. But we'll keep an eye on it. But I'm not overly concerned right now. You know, he keeps himself in good shape. He's got plus stuff, and I like his attitude on the mound. I like how he's a bulldog. He really doesn't care. He's just out there letting it fly, letting it eat. It's fun to watch guys like that.
Mike Stanton joins us right now. And, Mike, we try to make a point at the end of last season that this is not normal, what's happening with the Astros, this level of success. And you want to make sure that you truly appreciate it as it's happening. You're not constantly looking forward to the next day, the next year and the next year. As a former player and a guy who's been around this team now for a while, how do you take it all in? Because you understand how rare this truly is that we're seeing right now. Even though this feels normal for us as fans and people who cover the team, this is not normal in any stretch of the imagination in baseball. It's just not what we see usually.
Yeah, I've been blessed in my baseball career to play on some of the best teams. I've also been blessed to play on some of the, we'll just call them, not the best teams. And, you have to, I think fan bases have short memories, as they should, and have a tendency to forget the struggling years of 2012, 2013, 2014. I was still covering the Astros then, and I have not forgotten those years. So it's fine for the fans to be greedy and that kind of stuff, but players need to realize what's going on here, that this has been a very, very special era in Astros baseball. It's one of the things that they're promoting this year. It's the golden era of Astros baseball. And it truly is. I mean, it is remarkable to see what this team has been able to do, how good they've been able to be over a long extended period of time. Because if you go back, yes, there are, you have Altuve, you have Bregman, you have, all the guys that came up through their minor leagues. But if you look at the roster, there really has been some turnover. So you have to give credit to the front office for putting the team together, for getting the right players in the right positions and focusing on the right things on the field and off the field. So it's been really fun to see. It's not over. This is still a very good team, even though they do have some injuries. The American League pennant still has to go through Houston, and I think Houston is still one of the top two or three teams in the league to go back to the World Series.
Absolutely. Mike Stanton with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you watch the World Baseball Classic last night?
I did. I listened to probably the first half of it, and then the second half, I was actually sitting in front of the TV and watching it. I still have a little bit of mixed feelings about the tournament just simply because of the timing of it. But I don't think you can argue with the excitement, whether it's the fans' excitement, whether it's the players' excitement, whatever it is. I don't think it's going anywhere. But, I got a chance to watch. What a game.
Yeah, and how about that? I don't know that there will be a bigger – we were just talking about it. There will be a bigger moment in Major League Baseball, not until the postseason for sure, I don't think, than Ohtani – versus Trout in with two outs in the ninth inning with the title on the line.
Yeah, that was special. That really was. And you're right. There's no way a regular season game can live up to the drama that we saw in several occurrences in this WBC. I thought that they did a great job in promoting it. They had some great teams in it. But yeah, to have that angel on angel crime there in the in the ninth inning was pretty special.
Absolutely,
so I like the way Ohtani approached it. You know, hey Mike, you're going to get me. You know, he gave him. Yeah, he threw the 3-2 slider. You knew it was coming. After he pulled the 2-2 fastball down and away at 102 miles an hour, but he also gave him two fastballs right down the middle.
He did.
Oh yeah,
Trout had two pitches. Now they were 100 miles an hour.
Couldn't catch
but
up.
But he had two pitches to hit, and I like that Shohei challenged him.
You think this
now
will
that's
ever catch
be
up?
A constant conversation mm-hmm. all year mm-hmm. in the clubhouse oh, yeah. for the Angels.
Yep, and I thought the announcer did a nice job. One of them's going home with the trophy, and the other ain't. And, you know, one of them's going back to the Angels with a trophy, and the other one's not. You think this will ever catch on in the U.S.
with a medal? What's that?
Do you think this will ever the World Baseball Classic will catch on? I don't think we're nearly as excited about it as the Latin American countries or Japan or the Asian countries. You think it'll catch on here more?
I think it did. They did a good job of promoting it this year. And if you notice the, in the stands, they were packed even for the games that the United States weren't involved. You know, Miami was crazy, especially the Puerto Rican Dominican Republic game. I mean, they were just on fire there down in South Beach. So, I think it will get better. I like that it's only every 4 years. You know, I know we haven't had one since 2017 because of COVID, but I think if we did it any sooner than that, I think you would get more kickback from more flack from the teams themselves just simply because the players are at risk. But, you know, every 4 years, you know, it's kind of the baseball version of the Olympics. You know, that's I think it does stick around. I think that even though you did have Edwin Diaz for the Mets, fluke accident, him blowing out his patella tendon in a celebration that they weren't really celebrating. I mean, they were just kind of jumping up and down a little bit. And then now, too, the injury with breaking the thumb on his right hand. There's going to be injuries. Those are both injuries that could have happened in spring training. You know, what are you going to do? You know, Altuve's still taking at-bats. But I do think it sticks around. I do think it continues to get bigger. And I think Major League Baseball will do even next time around, will do even a better job of promoting it. Just because the more you do it, the better you are. You know what the product is, the better you are at getting it out there.
And let's face it, you know, for a sport, Mike, that talks about, okay, we got to find ways to make baseball as relevant to all the age groups as possible. You know, there's concerns about this. Basketball, one of the huge advantages that basketball has had is that basketball went global, thanks in large part to Dream Team. When the Dream Team, was such a big force, and Michael Jordan obviously was a big part of that even before then. I think in baseball, we already know Latin American countries love, you know, but these are Latin American countries that don't have soccer teams. You're either baseball or soccer, and if you're a baseball team, this is your World Cup. And I thought it was very interesting. I guess it's not surprising, but six Dominicans were asked, what's bigger, the World Series or this? Five said this is bigger than the World Series for us. And one said they're equally tied. I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. If anything, I think it's going to start having more participation from some of the stars.
Well, I think that, you know, everyone's always shooting for the United States, and the reason is because this is where Major League Baseball is. This is the premier level at the sport. And, you know, I think here in the United, I think it has caught on. I think that there are a lot of people that are still kind of like, well, yeah, but it's, you know, it's just a tournament. But you talk to the players are ecstatic. I can tell you in my career, there's one thing I wish I could have done, and that's put USA across my chest. I never got to do that. I wish I could have. You know, obviously I'll never do it as a player. Maybe someday, I could do it as a coach or something, but I never got to do that. But you see these teams, you know, whether it's the Latin American country, you see the celebration from the Japanese team Japan last night. I mean, you know, they were truly excited about this. You know, they were talking about last night's broadcast maybe being the most watched baseball game in world history because of the global approach of this tournament. And you know, I think that's probably the case, even though, you know, we've had some big ratings on World Series games, but that's usually mostly just the United States.
That's big for baseball, too.
Yeah, but I wonder if, listen, here's the guys that we threw yesterday. Kelly, Loop, Freeland, Adam, mm-hmm. Bednar, Williams. I wonder if how this thing ended, if the Verlanders and the Scherzers don't say, you know what, maybe I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I think that like the more you see the product that they're putting out there, the more you see how, you know, I can tell you the one guy that I did not envy was Mark DeRosa, the manager of the USA team, because he had, I mean, they asked him last night, does it feel like 2 weeks or does it feel like something else? He goes, I feel like we've been together for 2 months. And because of the stress he had to go through, because there were so many rules, and he's talking to managers from all the major league teams. He's talking to general managers, making sure everybody's still healthy. I mean, he was on the phone talking to people all day, every day, you know, them just checking on their players. And that's, you know, that's obviously the biggest issue with this tournament is the timing of it and are my players staying healthy? And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, players have to be put at risk for a tournament like this. But there's really no time to play this tournament.
Yeah.
You can't do what hockey does. You can't do what hockey does. You can't take two weeks off in the middle of the season for the Olympics. You know, you can't do it after the season because you've already played so much baseball. This is really the only time. But it's not optimal either.
No, it's absolutely. But hey, look at Urquidy only threw the Astros were like, hey, we were hoping Urquidy would throw more, so he's ready for the season.
Spring, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And instead, he only threw 47 pitches, and they're like, well, hopefully, we'll be able to ramp him up for his start.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to him during the broadcast last night yesterday, and you know, he said he'll be fine. His next time out, he'll throw 75 pitches, so he may be a start behind, but he's not. Way far behind. And you know, with Jose, the great thing about Jose is dude throws strikes all the time.
Yeah.
And so that allows him to keep his pitch count down. But, you know, that is a problem. You remember, you go back to the last one in 2017, you know, Bregman came out of the WBC with like two at-bats, you know, and then he got off to a slow start during the regular season just simply because he didn't have the repetitions. You know, that's another one of the problems that Mark DeRosa had, was making sure that all these guys are getting their, trying to win the games, but also keeping in mind that they have to get the reps to get ready for the regular season.
Hey, Mike, quick one, but this will be the last one for me, but I'm curious about the pitch clock. You know, we talked about pitch clock. What is it going to do for pitchers' rhythms, hitters' rhythms? I want to ask you about throwing more pitches in a shorter period of time. For a pitcher, and maybe it's a certain type of pitches you're throwing, I don't know, do you think there's any concern about the additional quote-unquote rest that you get between pitches? Now that you're going to be pitching a higher concentrated number of pitches in a shorter period of time, is that a concern at all for pitchers, do you think?
I think it might be a little. Most of these guys, when I say most, I mean the vast majority, they keep themselves in great shape. You know, you don't see very many baseball players now that are, you know, are questionable as far as their conditioning. You know, one thing that, you know, so the Astros played the Marlins yesterday. We covered it with AT&T, and the game was 2:07. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of offense, but it seemed like the pitchers, now I didn't put it on the clock, but it seemed like the pitchers were throwing a pitch every like 10 seconds. I think one of the things that all the pitchers have to figure out is how long is 15 seconds. And I know you go, oh, you're only talking about a couple seconds, but those couple seconds of recovery in between pitches, you know, maybe the difference of getting fatigued in, you know, in an inning or two, or being able to extend yourself further. So it still seems like it's rushed. Now that the WBC is over, everybody gets all their players back into their own camp, and now they can, you know, now you still have about a week left in spring training to kind of work it out. I think this, you know, there's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some things happen at the beginning of the season, but I think by the time we get to May, I think everybody's pretty much put in, you know, figured out their own routine, and you know, you'll just go from there. But it is a little concerning. I mean, there's a couple things that concern me. I'm not a big fan of the limited pickoffs, but we'll just have to wait and see how it all works out. I mean, it's It's a lot of rule changes to be thrown at you in 1 year. But, you know, these guys, you know, they're professionals. You know, they've been on pitch clocks. For most of the guys have been in the minor leagues. There's been a pitch clock in the minor leagues for a while. So I think it's going to be okay. But, yeah, there's still going to be some adjustments that need to be made.
Absolutely. Mike Stanton, Astros pre- and post-game, longtime pitcher in the major leagues with us here. Great to get your insight, Mike. Thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike Stanton here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Want to take a little shot of tequila with him?
Yeah, would love to. Well, although we don't do shots with Maestro Nobel, we sip. Well, I take it back. I actually did shots after the Astros World Series. A lot of them with friends, though. And this is a great opportunity to remind you that Maestro Nobel actually goes better when you're sipping, because you can really get a good feel for the different flavors and the different flavor profiles and components. It's just such a smooth trip when you have some Maestro Nobel. Whether it is, I was talking to a bartender the other day, and they didn't have Maestro Nobel at the bar, and I said, are you familiar with Maestro Nobel? He goes, yeah, I like it. I like their Diamante. The Diamante is their Cristalino. He goes, I really like that. I've had that and had the Reposado, and I was like, whoa, okay, so you're familiar. He goes, oh yeah, we should definitely be carrying it, but I don't make those decisions. And I wasn't going to just get into it with the beverage director, because me and him could have just had a little scrap right there, and there's no reason to do that. He'll figure it out. He'll figure out that Maestro Nobel is absolutely a tequila he should be carrying in his restaurant. The same thing with liquor stores. If you don't see Maestro Nobel, make sure you ask for it by name. If you do, purchase a bottle. I promise you, you're going to thank me later. It is very reasonably priced for such a high-end tequila. It's really a high-quality tequila made in Tequila, Mexico. 11 generations of tequila makers have come up and fine-tuned the most delicious types of and varieties of tequila that you're going to find, from the Añejos, the Reposado, the Cristalino, the Añejo Extra Cristalino, which is top of the food chain tequila, unbelievable smoothness in ridiculously cool packaging. That one's going to be more expensive, but it's for those people who are really big-time, high-end tequila lovers. That's one you've got to try. Maestro Nobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, Maestro Nobel.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real, fun sports.